Value creation with a focus on digital media and entertainment. QuiOak powers the tech departments of many startups through CTO as a service. Some of his notable roles were Gather Film CTO, where he developed a crowdsourced theatrical distribution, first $1 million box office through crowdsourcing. He was a music mastermind CTO, where he developed Zaya, a music creation cloud, which raised $27 million in funding. He was chief engineer at Widevine Technologies, which was sold to Google in 2010 for over $150 million. He was the chief engineer at Micropolis and Streamlogic, developed the world's first commercial VOD server and a family of VDRs. Please welcome Reza Razul to Cloud Computing East 2014.
Thanks so much for the kind introduction. Good morning, everybody. Wow, you dried out? So when Marty asked me to come and talk at this cloud computing conference, he said it's for mainly an audience of government and healthcare industry members. And I asked him, well, what do I know about that? I've never done a government project. I've maybe done some work in the healthcare industry, but my history has mostly been in the startup business. And so I've come suitably in my startup attire. Here, if you saw me yesterday, I was appropriately suited and booted for a cloud computing conference, at least for the East Coast. but he gave me the topic of vendor criteria. And as a startup consulting practice, or a consulting practice that mainly deals with startups, we've been around this tech loop so many times, and we've got projects in virtually every cloud. And so we are well placed to talk about different vendors and the sorts of questions you need to ask them. And I think what Marty was intending was for me to lend some of that perspective from the fast, fail fast, agile world of startup, and see if we can lend that experience to the gov and the healthcare sector. So let me move on. I'll weave in some more about our experience as we go on. So click. Back, there we go. It's only technology. So how do you choose a partner? That's a big problem. And here are two completely contrasting mechanisms for choosing a partner. On the left-hand side, you see a bride. She doesn't look too excited about the prospect of this impending partnership that's coming. You think she's probably somewhere up in a high tower. The partner that she's choosing is probably not of her choice. You might actually identify, I don't know if you identify with her in there, you might actually be in that role. The tower was not constructed by her. The moat around the castle was not of her construction. The dragon that's guarding the drawbridge, the thorny forest that the suitors must come through was not of her construction. And she doesn't look too thrilled about this choice. And then let's say one or two candidates come through those hurdles and scale the wall and come to rescue her. What sort of a marriage and a long-term relationship is she in for? She doesn't look too excited about it. So the more modern, agile, and fail-fast mechanism for choosing a partner is this speed dating analogy. So how does this... What relevance has this got to do with choosing a cloud vendor? You know what? On the left-hand side, if you look at those castle walls and you look at the moat and you look at the dragon, and the forest around the castle, and you think of yourself, if you think of, and you just give them names like FedRAMP and HIPAA and NIST, and you name them. You know, there's a bunch of letters. They can all be named that. Not of her construction, but she's the one that has to resolve that marriage of the potential suitors that are being filtered out before she gets ready to make a choice. And what is the purpose of it? The purpose of it is doesn't really foster the competitive, free, open marketplace with its adaptability and its resilience to change. What it does is it enshrines monopolies, and it has the potential of just preserving long-standing capital relations and so on. So rather than getting more preachy, let's move on, and maybe we can weave back to this analogy later on. So one of the cloud vendors, actually called Profit Bricks, you probably haven't heard of them. They're not one of the knights in shining armor that made it, that will ever make it through to scale the castle walls. They gave me a list and said, here are the sorts of questions that you might need to ask even before you start your vendor selection. You know, go look at your potential suitors, look on their online profile and see who they say they are. You might want to see what the public says they are. You know, you probably want to Google them. If you're creepy, you might actually go and check on any criminal record or so. And then you might, if you're really serious, you might start speaking with some of their previous dates or ex-wives or whatever, or husbands. And then at the bottom it there says read their service level agreement and terms and conditions. It's not only read them, but understand how flexible they are to actually adapting them. Because in many cases, in self-service, cloud vendors have a click-through, take-it-or-leave-it set of terms and conditions. And we've heard so many speakers yesterday saying, no, you've got some specific legal requirements that they have to adhere to. Don't just give that up. Don't abdicate that responsibility to someone that's not vested in making sure that your department gets a vendor that is going to comply with your legal requirements. So, crack on. So, starting your relationship, you know, you're starting, you want to know how easy the marriage is going to be, that initial relationship. So here, we just listed some questions. What is their ease of business? Sometimes it's too easy. As we were saying here, is the self-service and pricing plan simple and clear to understand? That's fine. I'm going to come more on to pricing later on. Sometimes it's you don't have to speak with any salesperson. You just have to hand over a credit card, and you can get a cloud. you can get access to a virtual machine and with remote desktop access, and you're ready to go. And in fact, when you try to speak to a salesperson, you can't. There's no one to talk to. There's no one that's going to pick up a 1-800 number. And in some cases, this self-service model doesn't really work for your needs, for a government or a healthcare client. So the on-ramp, you've already got an existing application that's probably running in a private data center or maybe it's a desktop app that you are transforming. How straightforward will it be to migrate that onto the cloud? So these are the sort of questions you need to ask. And then, you know, I've got some peculiar needs. This isn't going to be a straightforward marriage. I'd like my mom to move in with us. And so this is a customization of the marriage relationship. And so you want to know how amenable your vendor is to customizing the cookie cutter solutions. I was commenting with, I think Grant Kirkwood and I were talking yesterday. I said, you know, many of the vendors are going to say, you want to build a house and they're offering you Lego bricks. And they say, look, well, here are our Lego bricks and you can build any sort of house with them. But, you know, I want curved walls. I don't want straight walls. And so you end up with an inability to get your custom requirement satisfied because the machine images, the operating systems, the sort of sizes of the bare metal that they actually have in their physical location is constrained, and so you don't have that flexibility. We're going to come on more on that later on and see where you've got some flexibility. The product. You know, you can read this whole thing afterwards, but I'm just going to highlight on two things. Can the instance be started and stopped at will? Most of them will say, yeah, no problem. Yeah, you can start and stop it at will. You need to drill down deeper. In the next talk, more on performance, we'll talk about elasticity and the acceleration of cloud. Many cloud vendors will quote speeds, but they don't talk about acceleration. And so what is that 0 to 60 speed? What is its ability to launch a new instance? Can I double the size of my cluster in less than a minute? It's very difficult, but sometimes you need it. When would you need it? You'd need it when a spike event occurs and you've got a massive surge of traffic to your platform. We see this in consumer-facing platforms all the time. When a celebrity tweets to 20 million fans and there's a URL that they go to, you see a spike in traffic of one, two, three orders of magnitude to which your website has to respond. And in many cases, if it's not been appropriately architected to accelerate or scale that quickly, you end up with a site that has a page load time that just increases, and then the site becomes unavailable, and you lose all of that potential business. So starting and stopping at will, very important. Starting's an important question. Can it be stopped? And when you stop it, does the billing stop? The billing doesn't stop in most cloud vendors. You've got a spike that lasted 5 minutes. You doubled the size of your cluster to handle it. You got there late because it didn't actually launch. The Linux instances didn't boot in time. You got to the party late, and then you're left with the bill, the cleanup. You're billed for the entire hour from that launch command all the way to the time when the instance finally shuts off. So look at that in detail. The next thing I want to highlight here are the specs of the largest compute instance offered by each service provider. Trust me, you're going to be exercising that, and that's one of the limits that you bang up against. So I'm going to move on. There's a lot here to read. It's a very wordy slide. The product usage, here's one of the things that we find a big labor-saving addition. And I'm always looking out for cool dashboards, lots of monitoring, an alert system. A cloud vendor should provide you with not only a comprehensive manual dashboard, but an ability to automate that with your own scripting. So there are many vendors on top of the clouds, like RightScale, that serve to manage your cloud instances and manage the scaling and so on, and allow you to get monitoring and alerts. They're being squeezed out as each of the cloud vendors start developing and providing more of that themselves. And then, you know, if you've got any scripting smarts yourself and you've got a development team, you know, I encourage you to learn Chef and some of the other scripting tools like Puppet and so on that allow you to customize the automation of your cloud, especially if you're in a development environment and you've got continuous integration and you've got multiple branches of development going on concurrently. You're going to be launching instances and environments up and down, and you might even want to delegate that responsibility to your development team. So a developer can say, I'm going to launch this test instance number variant number 7 for branch for this branch of code, and then I'm going to shut it down afterwards, because you don't want that billing to continue. And so push the responsibility for DevOps to your developers, and you can do that through scripting, and that ensures that your costs don't go through the roof when you've got this explosion of different environments. Let me rattle on. I've had my 5-minute warning. Performance, that's kind of a given, but remember, the questions to ask your vendor, what scaling options do I have? They typically are going to offer you only vertical scaling, which means that you've got a platform running and you've got a cluster of servers. You can add another server to the cluster, and it basically boots up from scratch. So I asked my chief architect, why can't I have a running server that's maybe got 2 cores, and I want to add 2 more cores to it while it's running and not have to reboot it? Why can't I do that? Well, it turns out there's only one vendor I've come across that allows you to do that, and most of the other vendors don't. So that's called horizontal scaling. Imagine if you could do that. Imagine if your server, the processes are running and you need more memory, but I don't want to reboot the whole server. I'd like to just grow the memory. Linux allows you to do that. There are a few parts of your tech stack that'll probably need some tweaking, but there are some options. There are some cloud providers that allow you different types of scaling. And then ask about the cost of scaling and the latency of the scaling. If I say launch another instance or scale horizontally, how long does it take before that is effective, before that new instance is in the cluster and available to take session traffic from the load balancer? You should model this. You should develop a traffic model. This is what we learn in the startup business, is we start with a bottom-up model of traffic. And it allows you to ask what-if questions that are specific to your business. And obviously, you'd ask about the raw hardware. Those are the questions that, and there's a misspelling on the word InfiniBand. But look out for that. Very few cloud vendors actually provide a backbone that's based on InfiniBand. Quickly, in the last minute or so, here is an anatomy of a spike event. So this is when Pearl Jam tweeted to their audience, and the traffic, there was hardly any traffic on the site initially, and the traffic spiked. And these are concurrent users hitting the server. And you can see what happens to the bounce rate. The bounce rate goes through up to 100% because the number of servers being launched just couldn't launch in time. In one of the in this particular cloud provider's their Linux instance took 15 minutes to boot and be available in the cluster, ready to take session traffic. So think about that, and in your modeling and your analytics, you're gonna know what the cross section is of a spike event. So there you see the Linux boot time, 15 minutes. But what's even worse than that, as we said, the cloud cost for that particular provider is an entire hour. You're billed by the hour. So look out for cloud vendors that bill by the minute, especially if you've got volatile traffic like this. If you're building a public-facing site that is subject to spike events like this. So the question we asked right at the beginning, are you really asking the right questions? Do I want to get married? Do I want to qualify one single vendor for a monopolistic, non-compete, long-term relationship? Or do I want to remain sort of cloud agnostic and allow my my application to be deployed on any vendor's platform, on any service provider's cloud, depending on what deals become available as the market varies. You have to answer that yourself. And then even step back from that. You know, is the cloud right for my problem? Maybe a thicker client is more appropriate. You know, the tendency of our industry to make the UI web-based and dumber and do all the processing in somewhere far away is not sustainable. It's not a sustainable solution. There's a recent analysis that shows that big data is growing faster than Moore's Law. So what does that mean? It means that data centers at some point are not going to be able to keep up with the volume of data coming from the edge to the center. And so no matter where it's located in whatever data center, you'll just never be able to get enough electricity, enough power into the data centers to power these surges. So cloud might work for the next decade or so to solve some of these problems, but new topologies have to be devised in order to solve the problems two decades away. So, watch the space. Don't think that it's a marriage for life. It's a marriage of convenience. It's very West Coast. It's kind of Hollywood, you know. It's kind of a celebrity marriage. Go in with your eyes open, but also have a good prenup as well. Thanks very much. Hope that's given you a different perspective on cloud. Thank you.